Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam in Canto 9, Chapter 14, Text Number 24. There's no purport until we get to 36. So I'm just going to read the translation myself, and then we'll read 36 together. Text 24. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "The best of human beings, Pururava, began freely enjoying the company of Urvasi, who engaged in sexual activities with him in many celestial places, such as Chaitrarath and Nandanakanana, where the demigods enjoy." Text 25. Urvasi's body was as fragrant as the saffron of a lotus. Being enlivened by the fragrance of her face and body, Pururava enjoyed her company for many days with great jubilation. 26. Not seeing Urvasi in his assembly, the King of Heaven, Lord Indra, said, "Without Urvasi, my assembly is no longer beautiful." Considering this, he requested the Gandharvas to bring her back to his heavenly planet. Text 27. Thus the Gandharvas came to earth, and at midnight, when everything was dark, they appeared in the house of Pururava and stole the two lambs entrusted to the king by his wife Urvasi. Purport. The dead of night refers to midnight. The Mahanisha is described in this Smriti mantra, Mahanisha dve gatike ratrer mudjama yamanyo. 12 o'clock midnight is called the dead of night. Text 28. Urvasi treated the two lambs like her own sons. Therefore, when they were being taken by the Gandharvas and began crying, Urvasi heard them and rebuked her husband, saying, "Now I am being killed under the protection of an unworthy husband who was a coward and a eunuch, although he thinks himself a great hero." Those are pretty strong words to a kshatriya. So this is text 29. "Because I depended on him," she's continuing, "the plunderers have deprived me of my two sons, the lambs, and therefore I am now lost. My husband lies down at night in fear, exactly like a woman, although he appears to be a man during the day." Heavy insults there, boys. Text number 30. Pururava, stricken by the sharp words of Urvasi, like an elephant struck by its driver's pointed rod, became very angry. Not even dressing himself properly, he took a sword in hand and went out naked into the night to follow the Gandharvas, who had stolen the lambs. Text 31. After giving up the two lambs, the Gandharvas shone brightly like lightning, thus illuminating the house of Pururava. Urvasi then saw her husband returning with the lambs in hand, but he was naked, and therefore she left. So that was one of the clauses with their relationship. Don't let me see you ever naked. Yeah, so he blew it there, and she left. Text 32. No longer seeing Urvasi on his bed, Pururava was most aggrieved because of his great attraction for her. He was very much disturbed. Thus lamenting, he began traveling about the earth like a madman. Text 33. Once, during his travels all over the world, Pururava saw Urvasi, accompanied by five companions, on the bank of the Saraswati at Kurukshetra. With jubilation in his face, he then spoke to her in sweet words as follows. Text 34. My dear wife, O most cruel one, kindly stay. Kindly stay. I know that I have never made you happy until now, but you should not give me up for that reason. This is not proper for you. Even if you have decided to give up my company, let us nonetheless talk for some time. Text 35. O goddess, now that you have refused me, my beautiful body will fall down here, and because it is unsatiable for and unsuitable for your pleasure, it will be eaten by foxes and vultures. Text 36. Orvis said, my dear king, you are a man, a hero. Don't be impatient and give up your life. Be sober and don't allow the senses to overcome you like foxes. Don't let the foxes eat you. In other words, you should not be controlled by your senses. Rather, you should know that the heart of a woman is like that of a fox. There is no use making friendship with women. Purport. Oh, excuse me. I guess we'll chant that one together. Orvasi uvacha. Mamrta puruso sistram. Masma tvajur orkami ime. Vapi sakyam navaistrinam. Rakhanam vidyam yata. Orvasi uvacha. Mamata puruso sistram. Masma tvajur vrikhaime. Kvapi sakyam navaistrinam. Vrikhanam hriyam yata. Orvasi uvacha. Mamata puruso sistram. Masma tvajur vrikhaime. Prime Kvapi sakyam navaistrinam. Rakhanam hridyam yatha. Orvasi uvacha. Mapata puruso sistvam. Masma tvajur kane. Kvapi sakyam navaistrinam. Brakhanam viryam yata. Vasuvacha. Mapatap sosistram. Masma tvajur. Kvapi sakyam navaistrinam. Vrikhanam hriyam yata. Mantra Jesus. Urvasi uvacha. Mabhata puruso sistvam. Masmatvajya vrikhaime. Kvapi sakyam navaistrinam. Vrikhanam hriyam yata. Orvasi uvacha. Mamata puruso sistvam. Prapisakyam Navaistrinam Vikhanam Hriyam Yata Urvasi Uvacha. Urvasi said, Ma, do not. Mita, give up your life. Purusha, male. Asi, are. Tvam, you. Masma, do not allow it. Tva, unto you. Adyu, may eat. Vrika, the foxes. Ime, these senses. Do not be under the control of your senses. Kva api, anywhere. Sakyam, friendship. Na, not. Vai, indeed. Strinam, of women. Vrikanam, of the foxes. Hridayam, the heart. Yata, as. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Again, we can repeat. Urvasi said, My dear King, you're a man, a hero. Don't be impatient and give up your life. Be sober and don't allow the senses to overcome you like foxes. Don't let the foxes eat you. In other words, you should not be controlled by your senses. Rather, you should know that the heart of a woman is like that of a fox. There is no use in making friendship with women. Purport. Chanaka Pandit has advised Vishvaso Naiva Kartavya Strishu Raja Kuresucha. Never place your faith in a woman or a politician. Unless elevated to spiritual consciousness, everyone is conditioned and fallen. What to speak of women who are less intelligent than men? Women have been compared to sudras and vaishyas, striyos, vaishyas, yata, sudras. On the spiritual platform, however, one is elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, whether one is a man, a woman, sudra, or whatever. Everyone is equal. Otherwise, Urvasi was a woman herself and who knew the nature of a woman, said that a woman's heart is like that of a sly fox. If a man cannot control his senses, he becomes a victim of such sly foxes. But if one can control the senses, there is no chance of his being victimized by sly, fox-like women. Chanaka Pandit has also advised that if one has a wife like a sly fox, he must immediately give up his life at home and go to the forest. Mata yasya grihe nasti bharya chapriya vadini arayan aranyam tena gantavyam yataranyam yata graham. Chanakat Sloka, number 57. Krishna-conscious grihasthas must be very careful of the sly fox woman. If the wife at home is obedient and follows her husband in Krishna-consciousness, the home is welcome. Otherwise, one should give up one's home and go to the forest. Hitvatma patam griham andukupam vanam gutoyat dharyam ashrayeta. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.5. One should go to the forest and take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Gyanatam Randasya Gyananjana Sulakya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukham Krotava Chalam Pongul Namahai Ketuyam Nyat Kripa Taraham Vinde Sri Gurum Dinatara Nam Vancha Kaupachivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaisnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I don't know how I get stuck with these verses. You know? I'll try to say something without offending anybody. Actually, I've been reading this book by the biography of Mother Yamuna. And it's an amazing book. How many of you have read that book? It's an amazing book. She is not less intelligent. Much more intelligent than myself. She's such a wonderful devotee. I think it's easy to say that she was probably the most elevated Mataji in our society. Such a wonderful devotee. Just gave encouragement to so many devotees. One thing that comes to mind that I read recently, she used to do these these kirtan melas. Before the melas actually started, she was already doing it. So she told the devotees, when we have this kirtan mela, leave your shoes outside and leave your false ego outside also. Then we can hear nicely. And the false ego is a big problem. It's a major problem in our advancement in spiritual life, which this false ego is what puts this illusion in us that we're male, that we're female, that we're doctors, engineers, book distributors, you know, we're so many designations. Srila Prabhupada was speaking to Mother Yamuna one time in India. He was in the car and she was in the back seat, and there were some other devotees there, and he started speaking about this, how women are less intelligent. And he said, Yamuna, what do you think of this? And she said, oh yes, Prabhupada, I agree. And he said, but you are not a woman. You're a devotee. So if the women are thinking that they're women, then they're less intelligent. But if they're thinking, I'm not a woman, I'm a spirit soul, then you're actually more intelligent than millions and millions and tens of millions of men on this planet. Because there's millions and millions and tens of millions of men that think that they're men. They don't know their spirit soul. So in our society, there's many, many, many very intelligent women because they have this understanding. May not completely realize it, that they're spirit soul, just like us men, we don't completely realize. To be a completely self-realized soul is not an easy thing. But the more we're able to understand this, of course, the more we make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now, there's many points in these verses, in this purport. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that one should not put one's faith in. She's saying to him, don't put your faith in a woman. So we should also not put our faith in men. We should actually put our faith in Krishna. Because we all have our flaws. But Krishna, he's perfect. So we should take shelter of Krishna and put our faith in Krishna. And actually Krishna, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ashradhana Purusha Dharma Shasha Parantapa Apraphyamam Navartante Mitri Singhsara Vartmani. That those who are not faithful in this path, who do not have faith in me, they return to the cycle of birth and death. So this is the faith that we should try to build, our faith in Krishna. And then we overcome the cycle of birth and death. But if we have faith in these forms and other forms, then we have to continue in this samsara. This human form of life is such a short period of time in our eternal existence. Yeah. And we've had so many lives, like imagining a string, an infinite string that's just going infinitely, and there's a knot in that string. And that little knot is just a moment in our existence, and that's our life there. And imagine another string just dangling down there, and there's a piece of paper, and that's our designation. I'm a doctor, engineer, elephant, dog. So all these designations are there, man, woman. And then behind all these knots, there's many more knots, millions of other knots. Whether you're a dog, a cat, an elephant, a tiger, a bear, a king, a queen. So it just goes on and on and on. Right? And all these strings are dangling. This is our designation in the past. So now we have this designation. Right? So the goal of this human form of life is to stop the knots. No more knots. Just go back to Krishna. I think it's Rishabhdev. He says, Pungsakstriyamitu nibhavmitam, tayormito riyagrantima, otogriyaksetu sataptipitar, janashyamohoyam hamameti. That the basic principle of material existence is this attraction between male and female. And on the basis of this misconception, which ties together the knot, this knot between the male and the female, one becomes very attached to family, to home, to land, to children, to money. And this all increases the illusion, and one becomes very, it becomes very bewildering. So we're very fortunate that we're in this path where we can untie this knot and become attached to Krishna. Now, because of material conditioning, we're attached to so many things in this world. But by this process of Krishna consciousness, we're able to become attached to Krishna, become free of these conceptions, male and female. I remember I was distributing books at UCLA one time. I had my book table there. And from behind me, I hear from the microphone, the loudspeaker, "We aren't men. We aren't women." And I was thinking, man, that sounds like Bhagavatam class. And then I hear, we're transvestites. So we're not men, we're not women, we're not transvestites. We're spirit souls. So this is the reality. So we have this wonderful opportunity to understand this. And Urvasi, actually, it's pretty amazing. She's trying to encourage King Pururava. She says, be sober and don't allow the senses to overcome you like foxes. So she's preaching to him here. Don't be so bewildered by your senses. Control yourself. Control your senses. Just like Chintamani, she was preaching to Devamangala Thakura, yes. And he accepted her as his guru, but unfortunately, King Pururava, he didn't take this advice. He just like continued on, just being completely attached. So that's a good instruction. We should actually try to control the senses. Actually, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tani Sarvani Samyamya Yukta Asati Matvara, that one who is able to control the senses, to restrain the senses, and keeps his consciousness fixed upon me, he is able to attain me. So we have to control the senses and keep our consciousness fixed on Krishna. So this is the goal. And this is what purifies the senses, purifies the mind, this thinking of Krishna. And Prabhupada also in this purport, I think this sentence here sums it all up. He says, on the spiritual platform, however, when one is elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, whether one is a man, woman, sudra, or whatever, everyone is equal. So this is the goal, actually, to realize that we are souls and that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. Otherwise, our senses will just keep on dragging us all over the place. Yeah. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated, Nunam pramata krute vikarma, yet indriya prita aparnoti. That when one thinks that sense gratification is the goal of life, one becomes mad after such sense gratification and engages in all kinds of sinful activities. He goes on to say, therefore, I think it is not befitting for a person to again engage in sense gratification, which is temporary, which is a cause of suffering, and which causes one to again accept a material body. So this is the result of sense gratification. So we could either engage in sense gratification, or we could act in a way that is pleasing to the senses of Krishna. This is the goal. Hrishikena hrishikena sevanam bhakti uchite sarva padiva nirmukram tatprat vena nirmulam. That the perfection of the human form of life is to engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses. That's Krishna. And there's two side effects of this. One is that our senses become purified. See, we have purified senses also. We have our, in the spiritual world, they have their senses also. And here also we can have spiritual senses. If we just engage our senses in the service of Krishna, then we're no longer interested in the things of this world. We're only interested in giving pleasure to the senses of Krishna. Another one is that we become free of designations. Again, man, woman, engineer, doctor, pot washer, pujari, we're all spirit souls. We're all meant to engage in the service of Krishna. And this will give actual satisfaction to the soul. This will free us from the contamination of this age. In the Kali Santarpana Upanishad, it's stated, Iti sodasa kam nama, Kali kalmasa nasana, nata paratara sarvadesha dushite. That if one wants to get free of the contamination of this age and counteract all the sins of the age of Kali, there is no alternative than to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And each time that we hear the names of Krishna, attentively especially, then we get purified. This is the goal, to become completely purified of all these designations, of all this contamination, of all these material desires, and engage in the service of Krishna. This is the pleasure of the soul. This will give satisfaction to the soul. And no adjustment in this material world will give any satisfaction to the soul. Only when we're connected to Krishna. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, you take a fish out of water, no matter what it is you give the fish, it's not going to be satisfied until it goes back in the water. So no matter what we're given, no matter what adjustment is made, we're not going to be satisfied until we're connected again to Krishna. And this is the bhakti marg. This path of bhakti. And here, this example of Pururava, he became very fallen because of listening to his mind and dictates of the senses. And it's not easy to be a strict practitioner of Krishna consciousness in the material world. Now this, anybody know what yuga this was in? Any idea? I don't know which one it is, but it's not as bad as Kali Yuga, whatever age it was in. Kali Yuga is such a horrible age. He told Uddhava, Uddhava, the age of Kali is coming, so leave. Don't stay here. It's such a degraded age. Horrible age. And to be strict, again, it's not easy to be Krishna conscious in this age. So the only way that we can be strict, that we can stay in Krishna consciousness, is we have to be very serious. Just like there's preventive medicine, right? There's medicine that we can take, or there's supplements one can take to avoid disease. And there's accident prevention. Just like on our highways and on our streets, there's so many laws. There's street lights and there's rules that one has to follow. Why? To avoid accidents. So there's also fall down preventive methods. What are some of those fall down? Yes. Constant hearing, especially. Especially. I just read in a purport. Prabhupada says the more that one is absorbed in hearing the glories of Krishna and engaging in the activities of Krishna consciousness by this hearing, the more Krishna reveals himself. He gives himself to those persons who are absorbed in hearing his glories and chanting his glories. Anything else? Yes, Bhakta Roger. Just quietly or silently. You know, quite often I read out loud. It's good. Because then you could hear better. You're engaging your senses also. Your voice is being used. Your ears are being used. Not just inside. So it's good. Yeah, to read out loud is very good. Anything else? Yes, Amala Bhakta Prabhu Maharaj.
In regard to the last question, Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear that, for example, Haridas Thakur, who chanted generally in solitude, and also Lord Chaitanya would chant in solitude, they would literally shout out the holy name, you know, very loud. And the reason they did that is they wanted to, maybe this is a bad use of the word infect, but they wanted to, instill would be better. They wanted to instill that holy name sound into all creatures that were around them, whether it was a butterfly, whether it was an ant, a bee, whatever. They wanted them to hear that, so they shouted it out. On the other hand, if you read Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion, he mentions that the actual definition of japa is to chant softly. And when it's chanted loudly, he refers to it as a kirtan. But nonetheless, the holy name is the holy name. But when there are other devotees, especially in a temple such as this, and you have 20 or 30 devotees chanting, if devotees begin to chant loudly because they want to hear it better, it interferes with the other devotees who are trying to hear also their own chanting. So what happens is that you get conflict, you get the coalescing of sounds, and it's an uncomfortable. And not only uncomfortable, but it's not as pure a way of hearing the holy name, because you're getting all these other sounds of others coming in and coalescing and so forth. So really the rule is respect the rights of others on the one hand. And on the other hand, if there are no others present, then shout it out loud and strong.
I'll tell you a nice pastime of Prabhupada. Some of you may not have heard this. In, I think it was Montreal, that's where Jayapataka Swami joined. And he read that one should chant so loud, or louder than his mind. He said you should, Prabhupada says actually, one should chant louder than one's mind. So he was in the temple room chanting very loudly. and he had a loud voice. So the other devotees were kind of a little disturbed. They couldn't chant. So they told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jayavataka, Brahmacharya at the time, he's chanting so loud we can't hear our japa. So Prabhupada called in Jayavataka, Brahmacharya. He said, you know, I'm hearing complaints. Actually, there's more than one devotee complained. You're chanting very loud. So why don't you go on top of the mountain over there and you could chant up there. So he did. He went up on the top of it. It was a hill. So he was just chanting up there to his heart's content. Very loudly on top of this hill there. So yeah, and, you know, also Haridas Thakur, he would chant how many rounds a day? 300,000. How many rounds?
300,000 names. That's not
how many rounds? Huh? 100, yeah, approximately. Well, they say 192. 64. So he would cut up. Dravida told me, he said he would chant 64 silently. 64 regular, like we chant usually, and 64 very loudly. So he said that's how Haridas Thakur chanted. So generally, yeah, we chant, and you know, so we don't disturb others, but it's good to hear others also when we're. When we're chanting, we can hear the holy name. You want to say anything more, Maharaj? Or Ravindranath wants to say something. Thank you for the comment, Maharaj.
Yeah, you mentioned when this pastime happened that we're reading about. It's explained, I think, later on that Treta Yuga began during this time.
So it started in Satya and it went into Treta. Yes.
Treta.
And I remember reading that as well.
And also you mentioned again, because I heard this in a previous class, that Haridas Thakur chanted 64 rounds, like, silently. Do you know where that actually comes?
You'd have to ask Dravida Prabhu. He told me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
If I'm not mistaken, the question was basically, when you're reading to yourself and you're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, should you read out loud or quietly? It depends on who's around, how you feel, and how tired you are.
Right, yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Brigapati Prabhu would like to say something. 173 rounds, yeah. That's what so we have a calculator here. 300,000 names is 173.6 rounds.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I want to share this comment that the silent japa refers to Vedic mantras. So the Vedic mantras should not be chanted loudly, just like Gayatri, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anything else? Anything else to prevent fall down? Yes, we have Bhakta Storm here. Microphone is just coming.
Serving the devotees?
Yes, and not offending. Very important. If we offend devotees, then we lose our taste for Krishna consciousness. And I've seen this again and again in my time here in the Hare Krishna movement. If one is offensive to devotees, then Krishna doesn't tolerate it, and you lose your taste. So you have to be very, very respectful. And therefore, this verse comes to mind again, my favorite verse. Sopi vavre chalam bhaktim. This devotee prays to Krishna, please, Krishna, give me devotion for you, friendship with your devotees, and compassion for all living entities. So this verse, this should all enter into our hearts very solidly. We need this devotion for Krishna, friendship with the devotees, and compassion for all living entities. Yes?
I just had a question. I was wanting to take a note of that. What verse is that? Do you know?
I'm not exactly sure. I can tell you later where it is. It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, Amala Bhakta Maharaj. All right, I've gotten used to it now.
I just wanted to add one point.
Yeah.
It's mentioned offenses, as you concurred,
but also contemplating the objects of the senses leads to more and more interest in the objects of the senses, which further leads to engaging in activities in which we begin to utilize our senses for those pleasures. In other words, when we become absorbed in material pleasures, that's a way to fall down. So the idea there is that we should not allow our mind to become absorbed in material pleasures, all different kinds of sense pleasures, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, this, that, because, as I said, we will want to do this again and again and again until finally we lose, as you just mentioned, the taste for higher types of pleasure which come from the different forms of devotional service.
Thank you. Yes, there's a nice verse in the Gita. Krishna says, yato yato nishchalati manas chanchanam astiram tatastato niyam yatad atmaniyeva samnayat. That from wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must bring it back under the control of the self. So we notice when we're chanting our japa, the mind is going here and going there. You know, so we have to keep on bringing it back. Well, this is a practice. We're practicing this bringing the mind back. And if as we continue on, we get, you know, we get better and better at controlling the mind. And eventually, hopefully, we'll just be able to, you know, have the mind fixed on Krishna and nothing else, just service to Krishna. Did I see a hand over here earlier? No. Anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.